Let me thank you very much. I know it must have been a very eventful day for all of you, a day retreat online. And I have heard who are the speakers. Some of them are known to me. The last one I also know, our Charlie, a pilgrim to the holy places of India, where I met him in one particular sacred village. Yes, there was a lot of things happening, and as I understand, we will now spend another hour together. Obviously, I have thought about what I can share with you, now where you have already seen so many things. And what I can add, really, that might help you to to bring a container where you can put all these things in, and then which you have learned, and then take them out whenever you need them. I think, like all of us, we hear a lot, we see a lot, we experience a lot. But we have to ask ourselves the question, what if it stays? And even more so, what can I do with what I have heard to apply it really in my life so that I enter something like a lift that brings me to the consciousness Charlie was talking about. And let me stay on that level, to either be a servant or to feel so close that I feel, yes, I am really a divine being also. So in my little talk today, don't worry, there won't be so much talk. We will do also a lot of chanting. I would like to help you to access an area within you that we could call the sacred space. And once we are able to come into that space, it's a space where ego doesn't exist, where mind doesn't exist, where various illusions, confusions, disturbances don't exist. If we can inhabit that space, yes, then we will be self-sufficient, inspired, wherever we go, because our natural, inborn quality will shine forth. Good. I would like to start with with the sacred Om. I would like to chant it with you in a way that helps you to enter that sacred space inside your heart. The way we chant the Om, if we want to go and come to that sacred space in the heart, is that we place the phonetic sound A at the bottom, then rise in our chanting and come to our chest area and end in the area which is between the throat and here. That is with the M. So we go deep with the A, start with at the bottom of ourselves, move up with the sound to our chest area, and then resonate and vibrate in this upper area. I would like to just show it one time. I better leave the computer where it is standing. So I will come from down where we can't see anything, and then move up, oh, and then be with the is down. And M is here. I will do it one time alone by showing you. Please sit straight, relaxed, light and easy, and go. I will do it one time alone and then I will do it with you. A deep inhale. A deep inhale again. And last, wonderful, wonderful. I do this often and I can feel by now with the rising sound that comes through my whole existence and nourishes every cell, that a new, a better version of myself is created by the by this amazing sound, which is called in German language der Urlaut, the original primeval sound, from which everything comes, from this vibration, the sound vibration, everything comes. And you can become free from everything also by that divine sound. Good. This is a little to start with. I would like to start explain next. Was a very long day for me. How I personally discovered the sacred space in earnestness. I was trekking from the village of Gangotri to the source of the river Ganga in the Himalayas. I had started very early, but I had stayed in the various ashrams which I saw at the side of the path. I had once climbed even up to visit a yogi in his cave, and stayed for an hour in the cave just to experience what yogis experience when they look from the cave into the blue sky and into the forest. And because of so many delays, I came into the afternoon storms, which is something every pilgrim, every mountaineer, and every sensible person should avoid. These are powerful storms that blow through the Himalayas. They are so strong that they can blow cows, people, horses, easily off the track. So when the storms started, I continued to fight my way through. Then I went on all my fours and I continued to climb. But finally the storms became just so strong that it didn't make any sense to continue to move upwards any longer. And I looked and found a shelter behind and a little bit under a rock. There was a little place where I could press in. So I wanted to wait out the storm, but it became even more fierce. And soon there was rain and then snow. And as I was there, I thought, well, let me sing a little bit. And I'm a monk, so I chanted these chants. But I must say I was a little worried. Will I be able to reach the place? It's called Bodh Ganga, little settlement just before you make the final climb up to where the Ganga originates. I was worried, will I reach there or do I have to spend in this shelter the whole night or so on. So as I was singing, I looked to my right side over the path and looked into the valley. It was not snowing so much, but just a little bit. I could see. The first thing I saw were some birch trees. Then under the birch trees, I saw a person with a beard, like even longer than our Charlie, with a hat, some ragged cloth. He was sitting there, his right hand were holding some beads, and I could see, I could not hear, that his lips were moving. Now from his outer experience, appearance, I could see that he was most probably a Ram Bhakta. You can see this by the sign on the forehead. And he was there, either chanting or singing the names, the sacred names. And what I noticed, he was absolutely not disturbed. He was oblivious, in fact, to his surroundings, to the snow, the strong wind or storm. He was in a different space, his sacred space. And I don't know about you, but I believe most probably you also made such an experience. When you see a person who really impresses you, who has an aura, or in modern English you would say a charisma around him, that really touches a string inside and moves it so that it resonates, then you really become touched. It becomes an unforgettable experience for you. It is a scene which deeply imprints itself into your consciousness. And it remains there and from time to time comes out, maybe in a dream or you remember it and so on. For me, this was one of the strongest impressions I ever had in this life. And it's difficult maybe to communicate that very clearly. You might think, well, if he just saw a man in the storm who was undisturbed. No, it was more for me. It was an experience which went deep, so deep inside, that a sight in me began to resonate. We all have three strings in our heart which wait to be activated, which wait to vibrate. It's Sat, Chit, and Ananda in Sanskrit, or our eternality, our causeless wisdom which we all carry in us, and our bliss, our happiness, which does not need a reason of this world. Sat, Chit, Ananda are three strings. And when I saw this man chanting, I only know that they were all of a sudden sounding. I lost also my fear. Will I reach my sleeping bag in Bodh Gaya? Will I be able to, will the storm stop and abate and so on, and will I be safe? All this was gone. I was also in my sacred space, absolutely protected from outer circumstances. That's when I saw it, and I felt it by seeing a person who was there. And I asked myself at that time, I didn't have this word sacred space for this, I asked myself, what was that? What did the person experience? And could I maybe also go there and experience the same? And when I was back in Germany, I wanted to research that in the ancient scriptures, the Vedas, which are my tradition. Now, I have a friend who has published the first spiritual dictionary of Sanskrit words and their various meanings. And he has huge library, he's a professor, and my friend, he's also a spiritual, very deeply spiritual person. And I remember when I came in his area, I had a lecture in Hamburg, and he lived 2 hours from Hamburg. I said, I need to dig into your library and of ancient texts. And there I found in the Chandogya Upanishad, one Upanishad, a description of this. It's a place inside every human being. It is situated technically in the heart area, the spiritual heart area. It's like a room, you can imagine it, like a room in the house of the heart. That's how the Upanishad, the language, describes this. And when you go there, you will find an unlimited vastness inside of you. It is known variously as Dahara Akash, in other translations, the lotus of the heart, the yoga zone, where everything happens effortlessly and the mind and ego is no longer there. The Aleph. There are various descriptions of it. You can say when you have discovered it, you have discovered your inner life. It's a profound space which just waits for you to be not only discovered as a theoretical idea, but to be inhabited, to be Yes, that you go there. Now the Chandogya Upanishad also says, most people do not discover this place. They are like beggars who always run outside to get some money without knowing that right in their own garden, and a little under the ground, there is a treasure of gold waiting for them. They walk constantly over this gold treasure and they don't get there. But once you are able to get there, amazing worlds open for you. I would like to speak or recite something for you in English about this space. There is a space in the heart where everything meets. Come here if you want to find me. Mind, soul, God and eternity, all are here. Are you? This is how the Upanishad speak. Are you there? Or are you still walking over it, looking for satisfaction somewhere else? A beautiful poetry. Enter the space of vastness in your heart. Listen to the song that resonates there. Give yourself to it with abandon. You will find quiet ecstasy and a steady, regal sense of resting in a perfect place. So, I will ask the question now to you. What can you do to gain access to this sacred space? How can you enter there? How can you move there? How can you be there always? I've just completed a book by the grace, because I'm not such a, I have so much to do, but it's called Magical Minutes. And in that book, I give 16 meditations that can bring you there, because sometimes the ways are a little bit different for everyone. But the principle is always the same. It is to become absolutely absorbed in the spirit, because this is a spiritual place. Don't worry, we will make an exercise so that you can experience it. It is to come to the here and now always. Because remember, this is not something we need to create. This is not something that we need to, let us say, build up in us. It's something which is really there. It is already there, waiting for us to be discovered. And once we discover it, this place will give us everything we need. It's like the original goodness, a virtue of our being will just shine through. However, in front of it, blocking the way, so to say, is our materially engaged mind. So the mind needs to always be pacified. It needs to always be brought to a place of calm. This can go very fast, But it needs to move out of the way, because most of the time, people today are in their minds, in their constantly moving story, the narrative, the constructions, the reactions to the world. And they are not really free. The mind acts both as the jailer for them, the one who puts you into prison, and the prisoner. It's terrible. If we don't learn how to bring it into a peaceful state, peaceful place, so that it does not disturb us any longer. This is a very nice description. It says the mind is restless, and it is like a falcon in training. A falcon is a bird which is trained by fastening it with a rope onto a perch that sits. So at the beginning, it is extremely restless. It flies here and there and flee here and there, but finally it does come to rest at the perch to which it is tightened or fastened. In the same way, you need to act with your mind, who is in training. You fasten it in the beginning to your breath, and then although it will move here and there in the beginning, finally it settles on the breath and is carried by the breath. When the breath is calm, the mind becomes calm. You only need to connect it with the breath. And then later, as you go one step further, you bring it in contact with the divine mantra, the sacred mantra, which acts as a means, the Sanskrit word would say an upaya, a vehicle that transports you right into the spiritual place, the place within. This is one way to enter into the sacred space, the Dahara Akash, inside. There are other ways also, but I thought at the end of this day, we are all at the end of this day, more or less. I don't think. There were many, many other nice things which we want to do still today. But here at the end of my session, let me do like this, that I want to show you now by practice, by giving you an experience, how you can use both breath and mantra. The breath, you need to do this one simple thing, is that you bring your mind to your in and outgoing breath. And you think non-thinking, in other words, you stop all other thoughts and just be present with your breath, like the falcon who sits on its perch. That's the first stage. And after we have done this stage, we will enter the sound vibration or the vehicle of the mantra, which then brings us into this space. But please, before we do this, isn't that the goal of yoga? Isn't that the goal of spiritual searching? Isn't that the goal of our human life? To come in a place where we are not influenced, disturbed by outside, by the outside world, which is constantly in flux, constantly in change, which is called jagat. The only permanent thing in this world is change. And if you want to hold on to something. May, if it is a relationship that is about to change, if it is a state inside of you of inner peace to which you like to grab on, you will be disappointed, because by the very nature of this world, it will be taken away from you. But if you can rest in that which is already there, if you can be in that space which is spiritual and not influenced by change, then even the moment of death, this is how Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, will not disturb you. You're safe. You are in the place of eternity, knowing and bliss. So, yes, we need to now walk or just be. Those who are practice-oriented need to walk. Those who are being-oriented need to see how they can center themselves and just be. Good. I request you now to take a comfortable sitting position. It should be an easy position for you, and it should be steady. You should be able to sit in a steady way and in a comfortable way. The Sanskrit which Patanjali uses is Sukham, which should be a happy position. Easy, light. Please try to sit erect. How do you say in English? Tall. Try to sit tall. And do a few breaths. I think all of you have learned from good yoga teachers, like I know Shali was on the on this program, and he must have showed you breathing, or you when you are in his courses, you know. So I will just add, I think maybe you know, but I will just add, breathe deeply inside and fill your volume. You can do this when you inhale by just breathing into your stomach. When you breathe in properly, you will know that your belly protrudes, it comes outward. When you breathe out, it goes back. Very simple practice to deepen and also lengthen your breath is that on each exhale, you breathe a little bit more out. You go a little bit over the edge of your exhale, the border to which you are accustomed. Each exhale. Really empty the volume. And you will see how automatically more air goes in. I see some of you are breathing from here to Alaska so long. Very good. Three more deep exhales. Happy exhales. Smile a little. And now breathe in normally. No longer directed breathing. Just normal breathing. With one important addition. Whenever you breathe in, bring your mind to your inhale. Whenever you exhale, bring your mind to the exhale. Let your mind settle on your breath. Let it come to rest in your breath. Should your mind wander, no problem. Bring it back. Bring it back. Joyfully bring it back. We're just starting our journey. Joyful. Resting in the breath. We will soon add mantra to it. We will chant the Bija mantra, it's called Ram, and from there, after some time, move into a beautiful kirtan. But for now, allow your mind to expand. To expand in the peace of just being. Just being. There's nothing better than being. Nothing to achieve. Nothing to crave for. Settle your mind on your breath. Just be. Be in the moment. We will now sing Ram. A deep vibration, the whole space should could be supported or pervaded with Ram. I will do it one time alone, just to give you the tonality. And then we will do it all together. If it helps you to close your eyes, good. Now when we start to sing, you might have to open your eyes and look into the comment section where the words of the mantra will appear. Keep on breathing and being. We'll do one time alone and then with you. On an exhale, everyone now inhale and let the M vibrate in your head. Let the sound resonate inside. The sound wash through you. Three more times. A bit more forceful, please. Yeah. Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Jai Some of us, it helps if we bring our consciousness into the heart area. In that area, where the Dahara Akash, the place of vastness, where the soul, where Ram, Krishna, God reside, and where eternity resides. So when you focus your attention there and chant, sing in a way, you knock at the door, all of a sudden you will see the door will open and then you are in the space. Okay, let's sing more. Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Jai Ram O Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Jai Ram O Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Jai Ram Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jai Jai Ram
Ram
Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. I realize when we do these online kirtans, and nowadays we do a lot of them, they are good, but you know, my recommendation for you is get a good kirtan CD where the singers don't wish to, you know, where it's calming, peaceful. Play it, or there's a lot of very first-class kirtans online nowadays, and then just give yourself the permission, some time really, to just go there. And I want to tell a little secret in this. You know that door to the sacred space inside cannot be opened just by you, by a technique, by a method, by your own effort. No, it's the one door which has a handle in the inside. He has to open it. From the inside, and usher you in and welcome you in. And it goes really fast. And it can happen in very, very quick moments. It's really, but it needs you to come out of the achiever mood and enter the receiver mood. And that takes a little practice. I think the most difficult thing for us Westerners is to just be. We always want to be something else, or attain something, or to reach something. But we can just be and let be. Let it happen. Let us be ushered in. By the one with many names who's all around us. Good. I'm here a little mindful of the time. But thank you for giving me this platform. Thank you for being here. Thank you for creating with... creating is maybe not the word. Thank you for experiencing all this together. You have been very nice mirrors that have reflected the light very nicely. I'm now looking at the time, and I have heard there are... there's opportunity to ask questions. Let me just turn to Radhika, our host. Mm-hmm. What should we do now?
Of course, there's time for questions. I'm scrolling through the chat, but it seems that it's full of appreciation and love, but not any concrete question. So if there is, maybe you would needed the time to absorb yourself rather than in the middle interrupt and ask a question. But now is a wonderful opportunity for you to, if you need to or you feel inspired to, write a question in the chat section. But it's so wonderful to see so many of you here. Ruth, Phoebe, Oliana, Claire, thank you so much. Anna, Sanaji and Gary, still going strong. Musa, Sarah, Kansha, Isha, thank you so much. I guess while we're waiting for a question from our beautiful participants, Maharaj, I wanted to see if you had a way in which we could take this retreat home in a sentence or two. What should be our immediate next steps? Because I think that we are all full cups, if not jugs, by now, full of wonderful information and inspiration. What do we do as soon as we go leave this chat?
As soon as we go and leave the chat, we might go to the bathroom. But I know your question is much deeper, and take something to eat and all of this. But there was once a Chinese emperor who said something very wise. He said, every day that goes by without reflecting about it is a useless day. And he was so committed to this one practice, you could say, to reflect about the day, that he had, imagine, a golden bathing tub. And in the gold, it was very golden, he had written this sentence down, every day that goes by without reflection is a useless day. So my suggestion is, first of all, reflect and identify that one thing that touched you, that touched your strings, so to say, that resonated with you. Remember how I still, as an happy old man, I could describe myself, happy old monk, I'm still remembering that saintly person whom I only saw. I never spoke with him. I never met him. I only saw him being deeply absorbed in his sacred space. And this has, I have kept this image, and it has informed a lot of my spiritual practice. The way I am now is different than the way I was as a young monk before this event. So let us reflect, each one on his and her own, what stood out for me amongst all the many wonderful teachings which I have heard, the wonderful practices which I have done, or just even maybe one of the facilitators impressed me in a certain way. And I think, wow, I want to become like Raghunath, or I want to become like Radhika, or I want to be like Charlie, humble warrior, or, you know, whatever it is. That one thing is your gift. It is that what is specially meant for you. And then, once you have identified this, then take this with you. I would like to give you an example. An hour before this, online presentation on japa, you know, the silent meditation or light meditation with the mantra, and I was there, and we had about, I think, 10 to 15 minutes of intense practice. And in the practice, I was guiding the practice, so I was really not prepared for it. What happened? Something happened to me which is really precious. What I saw for a moment is how this practice, which I do since many years, has all of a sudden opened something which I had not seen before. I just knew about it, but I thought, this will not happen to me. And I was surprised because, as I said, I was not in the practicing mood so much. I wanted to make sure that everything went well. And before that, there were some technical issues, and I was afraid that this program would also be affected by it. I was not in the ideal set of mind, but still, I made a discovery, and I will now think about it more and see how I can apply that in my practice, just as an example. Like that. It has to be real for you. Spiritual life is so absolutely personal, so absolutely individual, so absolutely just for you, that it requires this little art. It's called manasaha in Sanskrit, to reflect and then identify something which struck you, and then make a little practice that integrates that in your life for you. That's my suggestion on your question.
Thank you so much for sharing. I want to respect everyone's time.
And yes.
Our retreat was scheduled till 6 o'clock. But obviously, there's always time for love and always time for nectar. So 5 minutes is, I hope, not so disrespectful.